Now, for this half of the message, I'm going to bring a different message, so they're two shorter ones. Now, you all have this booklet, which is the true calendar of God. Now, we have much more in addition to it and four videos. Now, let's ask a question. We can ask this of anyone. Do you believe that the Old Testament is the Word of God? Yes. Okay. Do you believe that we should keep the Sabbath? Well, let's look at a couple of scriptures here. Remember what it says in Genesis. What is the first instruction given to Adam and Eve? He created them and then taught them on the Sabbath. Okay? Now notice, right at the first, see, and you can read the appendix there that we have, Rome's challenge to the Protestants by Cardinal Gibbon. Now, when the enemy tells you they have searched the scriptures thoroughly and that there is not one scripture that says you shall keep Sunday, and that's a Catholic institution, so why do you Protestants say you follow the Bible, but you keep Sunday? And that happened in 1892. And ever since that time, the Protestants have gone down little by little by little by little. Sometimes a lot, sometimes a little recovery, but little by little they've been going down. To where now, they used to be 80% Protestant when asked, what is your religion? Today, it's 54%. And atheism and all of these things have increased. Okay. So here in Genesis 2, thus the heavens and earth were finished and all the host of them, and by the beginning of the seventh day, God finished his work which he had made, and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, which means made it holy, because on it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. All right? We know that he gave his commandments to Adam and Eve. It doesn't say that they were the Ten Commandments, but do you think that they were any different than the Ten Commandments? Now, let's come to the children of Israel here, and let's see something about the Sabbath. Let's come to Exodus 31. Now, while we're turning to Exodus 31, remember what happened in Exodus 16. God sent the manna 6 days. And if you took too much on the 5 days and left it over, it bred worms and stunk. And the sixth day, you could bring in twice as much so you could eat on day six and day seven. And some of them went out to look for manna, and God got angry and said, how long refuse you to keep my commandment? Now, that's an interesting phrase, isn't it, huh? Think about that. You could take that phrase and apply it today. Now when we come to Exodus 31, here we find a very significant addition to the commandments of the Sabbath, in addition to the Ten Commandments, see, because the Sabbath is part of everything that God does. So it was part with Adam and Eve. It was, and all the patriarchs between Adam and Noah, they had to keep the Sabbath because they were righteous. And if you're righteous and walk with God, do you think that you don't have to keep the commandments of God? How can you walk with God if you don't keep the commandments? Okay. So here, verse 12. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, truly, you shall keep my Sabbaths. There it is, plural. Some place singular, some place plural. Okay, we'll talk about the plural a little later. For it, now the it is the keeping of. That's what that is referring to. is a sign between you and me throughout your generations. He didn't limit it. Oh, well, it's all over when you go to Babylon, or it's all over when I destroy Jerusalem. See, no way. Sign between you and me throughout your generations to know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Now think of this. If you don't keep the Sabbath, do you really know God? No. You don't know God. Everyone that defiles it shall surely be put to death. For everyone who does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Now, what does cut off from among the people mean? It means that those people will suffer the taking away of the blessings that God gives to the rest of the people. That's how he does it among the people. 6 days may work be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. Now, wasn't that true for the 40 years in the wilderness? Manna 6 days of the week, none on the Sabbath. Manna 6 days of the week, none on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is perpetual of time for God to be in contact with his people. Now, notice what has happened to Sunday keepers, especially after the warning of Cardinal Gibbon. Look at Protestantism today. When people don't keep the Sabbath, and that is a segment of time, every 7 days, God made the calendar every 7 days, right? Men have had different calendars. Look at the ones that they've had with Rome. Look at the Julian calendar. The Julian calendar was 365 days, quarter of a day short. So, down through time, the Catholics began to see, well, Easter is getting closer to winter. And they originally set it so it would be close to Passover as the feast to substitute for Passover. Okay. But when they got down to the 1500s, Pope Gregory had to drop 10 days out of the month of October. I forget the exact year, but the year they did it, it was October 4th. And the next day was October 15th. Now, you can help me on this. The Russians did it in what, 1912? Oh, I thought you knew the history of Russia. Okay. Okay. You're guilty of negligence. Okay. Okay. Then they had to drop out more than 10 days. All right. No humanly devised calendar is as accurate as God. Now then, here is the problem for people. The Bible does not contain the formula on how to calculate time according to God's calendar. Now, I forgot to bring the book, but I can just tell you about it. The book by Speyer on the calculated Hebrew calendar, which has everything calculated and worked out. In the introduction, he says that the calendar was not devised until about 1000 BC. Forgive me. Okay. And that it is the tradition of the Jews, and that he was putting this calendar together so that the Jews would be able to determine their birthday. Now, why would he phrase it that way when that is not true? Here you've got the true facts on how to calculate it, but then you denigrate your presentation by saying it's the tradition of the Jews. Now, if you're a Protestant and you read that, and then you read Mark 7, what Jesus said about the traditions of the Jews, full well you have your traditions and you reject the commandments of God. So they pay no attention to it. So that really shocked me when I read it, because the purpose of the calendar is to reveal the Sabbath and the holy days. Okay? Now then, because he says here, it is the Sabbaths. Okay? Perpetual covenant. Verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel. Put in your margin there, Isaiah 56 and Isaiah 58, about the Gentile and the eunuch keeping the Sabbath. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now then, what is the first encounter with the Sabbath by the children of Israel? No. Oh, not the Sabbath, the Passover. Beg your pardon. Exodus 12, 13. Now, the children of Israel were in Egypt, and they lost all knowledge of the calendar. And we don't know what kind of calendar that the Egyptians had, except they were sun worshipers. And some of the holidays that are kept today are identical to what they kept in Egypt that long ago. Okay. So here's what God told Moses. Exodus 12, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month, now if there's a month, how many days are in a month? That depends. This month shall be to you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Then he gave the instructions of saving, getting the lamb on the 10th, holding it until the beginning of the 14th. Yes.
Was he saying this?
Read the booklet. Now, it's brought out, it can mean moon or month. But technically speaking, now you'll have to read this booklet to understand it. Technically speaking, when you observe the looking for the full moon, you never see, not the full moon, the new moon. When you're looking for the new moon, you never see the first of the new moon. Why is that? Because that crescent is still the first little sliver of light on there comes the day before you see the next sliver of light. That's why it's calculated. You can read it here in the booklet. So then, he tells them what to do with the lamb, when to kill it, and then he gives the instruction concerning unleavened bread, which is the day following. First day and last day are holy days. Okay? Now then, let's come here to Exodus 13. Let's see something that tells us God did something on the Passover day and the first day of unleavened bread before he ever started with the Israelites. And this was with Abraham. Okay? Now, let's pick it up here. Now, verse 40. Now, the sojourning of the children of Israel in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass, at the end of 430 years, it was even on the very same day, all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. 430 years before. Now, don't have time to clarify between the 400 and the 430, but we'll clarify that very quickly. Okay? Let's go back to Genesis. So this goes back to Genesis 15. Now, it's not called the Passover here, but a special covenant day, okay? It covers what is the Passover and the first day of unleavened bread. Let's pick it up here in verse 4, Genesis 15. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this man, that is Eleazar, shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own loins shall be your heir. Now, he was 75 years old when he was given this promise. Okay? So that's the first promise. Physical seed. Next promise. Now, this is a tremendous event because the whole rest of the Bible springs out from this chapter. The whole rest of the Bible. Think of that. So that's important. And the day that this occurred on then is important. And since we will see, this was the Passover day, and the next day was the first day of unleavened bread, not declared that way. But these days with the action of God were so important. And then God used them again with the days of Israel. Okay? Let's go on. So he tells them in verse 4, you're going to have your own children. Okay? That he brought them outside and said, look now toward the heavens and number the stars if you're able to count them. So this had to be at night, right? Have any of you seen stars in the daytime other than the sun? No. Okay? So this was at night. When do we keep the Passover? Today. At night. Okay? And he said to him, so shall your seed be. And he believed in the Lord. Now, this then are the spiritual seed. And there were hardly any spiritual seed until the coming of Christ. So look how far in advance God has planned things. And what was it said of Jesus? That he was slain from the foundation of the world. And what is it said of the gospel? Before the ages of time, right? So God has a great plan, and it's all hinged on the Sabbath and holy days. But he didn't put in the Bible how to calculate it. So let's go on. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. And then we have the sacrifice of the heifer, the goat, and the ram, turtle dove, and young pigeon. And he took all these to himself, verse 10, divided them down the middle. Now notice, this is not an altar of rock, like God said to make. If you're going to make an altar, it's got to be an altar of whole stones. Isn't that what he said? Okay. Did he not do that when he offered Isaac? Altar of whole stones. Here, there's no altar. These animals were cut right down the spine, and then the halves were laid to make a path. Now, the turtle dove and pigeon weren't cut in half. Okay? That was a special one. Now, let's notice the timing of this. Verse 11. And when the birds of prey came down upon the carcass, Abram drove them away. So this tells you that it took most of the day to cut those animals and lay that out. We don't know how long it took to gather them out of the herd. We don't know how long it took to cut them down. But there they lay. And it came to pass when the sun was going down. Not yet down, going down. Okay? When did Christ die? At the ninth hour, 3 p.m. Is the sun going down? Yeah. Yes. Now notice what happened. So here's a prophecy. A prophecy that he did not even know, which now we can look back and know that this was a prophecy of the death of Christ. And the one who became Christ was the one who walked through the parts of the animals. Let's read it. And it came to pass when the sun was going down that a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abram, you must surely know that your seed shall be sojourners in a land that is not there, and serve them, and they and they shall afflict them 400 years. Okay? The 30 years is this. It was 15 years from the time of this until the promise of nations. Okay? So here he's 75, and then at 85 that is given, and then at 100 Isaac is born. So you have another 15 years, and that's Isaac being offered. That's the difference in the 30 years and the 400. Verse 14, I also will judge that nation whom they shall serve, and afterwards they shall come out with great substance. Did all of that happen? Yes, it happened in Egypt, did it not? Yes, indeed. Did they come out with great substance? Okay. But in the fourth generation they shall come here again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass when the sun went down, boom, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between the pieces. Now what happened to that, to those sacrificial animals? They were probably all burned up, and there were just ashes there. So Abraham knew that God meant what he said when he saw that. And then he made the covenant that your children would come out, okay, and go, and they would have the land. So 430 years later, to the very same day, that shows you God keeps time, right? And how he keeps time. Now then, let's come to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. Now, God had to have given the means of calculation to the priesthood. And that falls with the whole history of the children of Israel and the Jews and the Levites. See? Because how can you give the day of a holy day with a specific number and month and specific number of day if there was not a means of understanding how you get that month and that day? Right? So if you believe the Old Testament is the Word of God, then as Paul wrote, the oracles of God were given to the Jews. And the calendar calculations to the priest and Levites. Because here's what they were to do. Verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, concerning the appointed feast of the Lord. Now appointed, we're going to learn that appointed times has to do with prophetic and spiritual events. What was the appointed time of Jesus' death? The Passover, right? Yes. And it had to be on the time that God set, not on the time that men would set in a calendar that would be a little different. Now, were there times when different segments of Israel and the Jews had different calendars? Yes. Were there times when those in Babylon differed with those who were in Jerusalem? Yes. But he gave it to the priesthood. Okay? Concerning the appointed feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my appointed feast. First one is the Sabbath. Every seventh day is an appointed feast of God. See? 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. Now then, there's more to come, because did he not in Exodus and Leviticus, and also Deuteronomy talk about Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruits, Feast at the end of the year? Yes. He didn't give a date, though, did he? Okay. Here, he gives a date for every single one. Has to be. Now, could the priest proclaim it unless God had given him how to figure the rest of it? No. Because God is so precise. Now, as you read in this booklet, God's calculations, what we call the Hebrew calculated calendar today, are so precise that it is more accurate than NASA and the Naval Observatory. Because the full moon of the 15th and the first month are 99% accurate to the fullness. Because it's either waxing or waning. Okay? When it comes for those in New Zealand, it's waxing. When it comes around to us, it is full and waning. That works every time. Okay? Now then, he says, verse 4, these are the appointed feasts of the Lord, holy convocations which you shall proclaim in their appointed seasons. Then he lists them all. 14th day of the first month, so they knew the month and the day. Lord's Passover, 15th day, Feast of Unleavened Bread, first day of Holy Convocation, seventh day of Holy Convocation, and then they had a special thing for Pentecost. They would have to, on the day after the Sabbath, or rather, the first day of the week during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, have the wave sheaf offering. Now, why is that important? What did that picture? When it was given, they did not know it pictured Christ descending as the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. They had no idea. But we know. But they didn't know that it was going to happen on the very day that God gave in Leviticus 23. And then you're to count seven full weeks, and the day after the seventh week, you're to have what we call today Pentecost, which means count 50. Okay? And then we come down to trumpets. First day of the seventh month. Now, the first day of the seventh month is a key, important day. Okay? Because all calculations are based on the first day of the seventh month, and you count backwards 177 days to get to the first of the first month. Because that has to be precisely figured. Then when you count backwards, you have 30 days, 29, 30, 29, 30, 29, until you get to the Feast of Trumpets. Now then, we have it in the harmony of the Gospels. When was Christ born? Galatians 4 says, at the appointed time. How can we figure that? Well, you read what we have in the harmony, and we take this calculated Hebrew calendar month by month, week by week, and we come out right precisely the middle day of the two-week probable birth of Jesus was the first day of the seventh month. Now, could that be going back when Adam was first created? We don't know, but we know in Genesis, the first chapter, that on day four, God set the sun and the moon in the proper position of relationship to the earth for what? The appointed seasons. Now think of that. That's how important that the calculated Hebrew calendar is. See? Now, some people may object to it, but then why does God fulfill on those days all the way through? What happened on Pentecost? Why was Pentecost so important to the apostles? What did Jesus tell them? He said, you stay in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. Right? That was the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. That's what it's called. It's also called the day of the first the day of the Sabbath or the day of the weeks. Okay? Now then we have the Day of Atonement. Now look, how important is the Day of Atonement? That you have the right day. It's so important that God made it very clear that the Sabbath, especially the Day of Atonement, is to be from sunset to sunset, right? No work, no nothing, rest, fast. Now, what if you're off a day? What if you're a day ahead or a day behind? What if you're 2 days off? You can't call it, atonement. Now, we had recently this silly calendar where they said, okay, you watch and you look for the new moon, and that's the first day of the week. So they have to drop out days every month. It's the worst calendar of all. So that's the first day of the month, and you count 7 days, and then it's a Sabbath. And then you count 7 days, and that's a Sabbath. You count 7 days, and that's a Sabbath. And you count 7 days, and that's a Sabbath. And then you wait. You wait until you see the new moon. Now, it might be on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, but you wait until you see it, and then you start counting again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And you do it for 4 more weeks, and then you stop. And so the Sabbath travels through the whole gamut of every day of the week over a period of time. God said every 7 days, not how you determine it, but how I created it. Okay? Then we come to the Feast of Tabernacles, which we had, and the last great day. Okay? Now, let's come here to Galatians 4. Galatians 4. By the way, I think I'll start a short series in Galatians here pretty quick. Galatians, the fourth chapter. Here we go. Galatians 4. Now he's talking about Christ. Verse 1. Now then, I say, for as long a time as the heir is a child, he is no different from the servant, although he is Lord of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed beforehand by his father. In the same way, when we were children, we were held in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the time for the fulfillment came, or the appointed time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under law. Okay? The appointed time. God does everything by the appointed time, in order that he might redeem those who were under law, so that we might receive the gift of sonship. So the whole plan of the New Testament follows right along with that. Now, when you're talking about the calendar, someone's going to bring up about Hillel the Second. Well, that goes back to the days, and you can read it in the booklet, of Ezra and Nehemiah. They set up the great synagogue, and so when Ezra was revamping the Old Testament, and what he did, he used the Chaldean block Hebrew before it was all the script. So they did the whole Old Testament, okay? And they had a calendar court. And the leading one of the family of Aaron was the head of the calendar court. And if you read Maimonides, he tells you that although they had people look for the new moon, the calendar court never agreed with the one who said he saw the new moon unless it agreed with the calculations. And that calendar court operated that way all the way down. There were some interruptions in it, but there was always a descendant of Aaron as the leader of it, and he was known as Nasi, N-A-S-I, Nasi. Now, Gamaliel, as we find in the book of Acts was a Nazi. Okay? Hillel II was a Nazi. After the temple was destroyed, the priest and the Levites, they set up a whole school in Tiberias up near the Sea of Galilee. Okay? And they were there for 400 years before they moved to Western Spain. And they were the ones who had to fight off the rabbis over in Babylon because they wanted to have a different calendar. So, just like God through them preserved the Old Testament, he preserved the calculations for the calendar and all of the things necessary. So what Hillel II did was this, because the persecution was so great among the Christians and Jews that he decided to let the knowledge of calendar calculation become public, because he was afraid that if they killed all the priests, no one would know how to do it, and the Jews and the diaspora would be out of luck. They wouldn't know how, what days were what. So it was made public. Now, the Western Jews moved from Tiberia over into Spain. And Spain, in the 1100s, was when Maimonides, who was a Nazi, wrote Sanctifying the New Moon. And then Goldfried translated. I've got the whole book. I've read the whole book. And it brings out everything necessary concerning the calendar. See? Now then, need to address one thing. Some people say we shouldn't have postponements. Now that's kind of a nasty word, postpone. But while they say we shouldn't have postponements, in the Roman calendar, they agree with a postponement. What is that? February 29th, that's correct. What does that postpone? March 1st by one day, right? Generally, February 28th, then March 1st. Then you have February 29th, and then March 1st. Why? Because that's the kicker day to take care of the one quarter day of 365 and a quarter days. Then they have a full day. See, you never postpone until you have a full day. So I like to call them synchronizing adjustments. Okay? And those are what keep everything in correct order. If you didn't have postponements, you would soon end up like the Roman calendar with the one that Julius Caesar came up with. You would lose time. So, I hope you take this booklet and you read it. Okay. Now, want to cover one thing. Read carefully concerning the year of the flood. And, let's see, we're a little over time now. But, the year of the flood is figured by the calculated Hebrew calendar. Believe it. If you don't believe it, the figures are right there, and the figures are correct. One thing to know, when it said the ark rested, that means it stood still in the water above the mountains of Ararat. It didn't come down on the Mount of Ararat, it came down in a saddle between the mountains of Ararat. And so you read it there because it says that the flood covered the high hills and all the mountains. Now, how high is Mount Everest? What is it, 29,000 feet? Okay. How high are the mountains of Ararat? 17,000. So there was 2 miles of water when the water started coming down. It's 2 miles of water from 29,000 feet and 15 cubits above that. See? So when the Bible says covered all the mountains, it means it covered all the mountains. Okay? And it took 150 days for the water to go down. And then, if you read the King James, it says, saw the dry ground. That's not a correct translation. It should read, and the ground was drying. Still soggy. Because they stayed in the ark quite a length of time after that. And so, that calculated Hebrew calendar year turns out to be a leap year of 385 days, the longest possible year. Now, if God used a calculated Hebrew calendar for that, he used a calculated Hebrew calendar to gave it to Moses and the priesthood, and we have the calculated Hebrew calendar today, that is the calendar that we should use. Because that's the calendar that God uses. See? Now we know there have been sins of men back in the times of Israel and Judah. And there have been sins of men in the church. But you don't throw away the truth of God because men sin. Because the truth of God says men sin. See? And that doesn't change it. So, This book here will help you. Very good book. I don't know if you already have it. If you have it, go back and review it. So we're going to send this out to everybody so you have a chance to read it.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.